Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk and your host for this conversation. And today we are delighted to introduce to you the District Attorney of San Diego County, Bonnie Dumanis. Bonnie, welcome to iVow.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here because you are an icon and a very well-known figure in the law in San Diego. And I think as far as I know, you've spent your entire career and in public service and law enforcement. What drew you to this profession, to this career?
Well, I think I have the gene, the DNA, that draws me to public service. Since I was 14 years old, I've been working and working in areas of public service. And so it became natural as I went through high school, college, and after to become a lawyer. So it's been my passion to serve the public, and I'm grateful that I've been given these opportunities to do it, and hopefully I've left my mark.
Oh, I think you certainly have. So can I just go back and ask you, that would be in Massachusetts when you were 14?
Yes.
Is that correct? What were you doing?
At 14, I was working with kids at the YWHA.
UHA,
yes,
okay.
Yes, Hebrew Association.
Ah,
YW and YMH, no, YMHA. But it was the Hebrew Association.
The Hebrew Association, okay, interesting. And volunteering there.
And volunteering there with kids. Actually, I might have got paid a little bit, but teaching them various things, being a counselor.
Yes.
And then I worked in a hospital for a little bit, helping with radiology department and serving people there. Then also in high school, set up a nonprofit organization to help underserved kids with tutoring.
Oh, how wonderful. Right.
I think it was called Self Help Inc. that we that we did. And also was active in organizations like the United Synagogue Youth.
Mm-hmm.
Became president of that organization and then went on to college and was active in other kinds of sort of service-oriented mm-hmm. committees and things that you do while you're in college.
But you can hear that you've always had that public service streak. That sounds very apparent. So you are, and I get this from Sheriff Bill Gore, the leading law enforcement official in San Diego. He refers to you as his boss. So how was that when you became the district attorney in comparison to women in your position across the United States?
Well, in California, it is an elected position. Mm-hmm. And when I was elected in 2002 and began in 2003, there were four other elected women out of 58 in the state of California.
Wow, those usual low female numbers.
Low female numbers. Right now, so we are in 2017, mm-hmm. there are roughly 20. So we still have a ways to go, but it has improved significantly since I was elected DA. And when I came to this office as a deputy DA,
mm-hmm.
there were six women
mm-hmm.
out of about 60.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have 320 lawyers, and more than half of them are women deputy DAs.
Excellent. So the numbers are growing. What do you think that change is about? The fact that there are more women coming into the law and being promoted in the law?
Well, I think as a woman, we begin to look more at helping other women and getting them in positions, you know, giving them a hand up
mm-hmm.
when they're qualified, of course. So one of my initiatives when I became the DA was to make sure that we had a diverse organization, not only with women, but with people of color as well, mm-hmm. And backgrounds and geography, because we serve the public. And if the public sees themselves in the organizations that serve them, then I think they have more trust for mm-hmm. those organizations. And so I was active in Lawyers Club of San Diego, which promotes women in law and, mm-hmm. and other organizations as well. So we recruit to make sure that we have people, both women and folks of color, and white men too.
Mm-hmm. A good final comment to that question. Have you always, as a woman, been respected in the field of law? Or have there been moments where you've had to perhaps struggle to create or to demand that respect?
Well, I think it's been hard in almost every position as a woman. So when I applied as a deputy DA mm-hmm. because there weren't very many women. Mm-hmm. There were opportunities while going through law school that were provided to men that were in higher paying jobs than to women. Mm-hmm. And when I studied for the bar, I wasn't able to take time off. I was an investigative assistant, while one of the men in the office who was also some type of assistant was allowed to take as much time as he wanted. And he was hired first, and it took me several years to get hired. So times have changed significantly, but mm-hmm. it certainly, I think, was largely a part of gender discrimination at that time. Mm-hmm. But as a judge, I've seen it at the judge's table and judge's meetings mm-hmm. where women make a suggestion. Nobody pays attention to it, and then we go around the table and a man will give the same suggestion, and sure enough, it's a great idea and it may be implemented. So I think it's taken time for those mm-hmm. things, and not only as a judge, but even originally as the DA, because I was one of the first women at the table with all men who were the chiefs of the law enforcement agencies. But I think, just like in anything else, when they see you as a person and see you as you show your abilities and competencies, and usually women have to be above competent, have to
yes.
be much better,
yes.
Then they begin to respect and listen and let you lead.
And you found that to be the case?
Yes.
Do you think you lead differently from men? Do women generally? What do they add or apply?
I think it's hard to say what it is, but I think as women, we are socialized to be more collaborative, to talk about things, process things, mm-hmm. and to be more inclusive. So our approach, or at least my approach, has always been, it's we, not I. We talk about others and give others credit before we do, and we think of others before we think about how to take care of ourselves, because we are caregivers. So I think that helps in many ways in leadership, and I think that's where it is now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Collaboration is certainly something that we all strive for now, and I think that we get along better with women. We worry about families and the priorities that we have as women, but that also men have taken on those priorities now as well, and so we have impacted future generations and the way men lead.
So that's a very good and a very strong point. So now turning away from the leadership for a moment and thinking about the comparison of San Diego with other large cities in the United States, how is crime prevention in the statistics? Is crime prevention down, say, in the most recent decade from what it has been? And if so, why?
By crime prevention, do you mean crime statistics, whether or not we have a lower crime rate, or do you mean the use of prevention programs?
Both, actually. Thank you for breaking it down like that. So let's start with those statistics about the crime.
Okay. The crime rate in all the country has gone down significantly. Mm-hmm. In California, San Diego is one of the safest counties, not just in California, but in the nation's safest large counties, which is a tribute to all of the law enforcement here, as well as the collaboration between the agencies and the community. And it's the lowest it's been within like about 47 years.
That's a lot of years.
That's a lot of yeah. years, and it has been a trend in San Diego County and continues across the nation to really look more at prevention than intervention or incarceration. Mm-hmm. And as we have done that, we have found what we call evidence-based practices that have been tested, researched, and have shown good results. Mm-hmm. San Diego has been on the forefront of that, with both young kids that come into the juvenile system or approach the juvenile system, with adults who have substance abuse issues that enter the criminal justice system, and with those that are coming out of prison and helping them get the assistance they need to turn their lives around and become productive mm-hmm. citizens.
And I know, having conducted some interviews at Las Colinas, that I think San Diego County leads the country certainly on that follow through and that, reducing the recidivism a great deal, especially for those female prisoners there. What would you say has been your role And I know it covers a myriad of areas, but what do you think you have done and where have you played the largest part with regard to some of that prevention in the rulings and the procedures that you've been able to instigate in your role as district attorney?
Well, I think we've led the way in a lot of ways in prevention programs by being one of the first to collaborate with our partners in law enforcement and the community to write some legislation and create a reentry program, which is a program that dealt with people in prison, coming out of prison, to create a plan from the beginning when they're convicted to have services in prison, be followed up with somebody outside of prison, and follow them when they are released out of prison to give them the tools to turn their lives around. And that has proven to be very successful and gave us the model for many of the other programs that we then went forward on. And we did do research along the way. Mm-hmm. So I think we've been on the forefront.
From what I can gather, from what I know of the crime statistics, San Diego County has certainly taken the lead with regard to human trafficking. Could you talk a little bit about that? I think it's something that our listeners would be intensely interested in, and a lot don't fully understand. I'm one of them. So tell us something about the raids and the things that you've been doing.
Well, we've been involved in human trafficking since we helped write the law that made it illegal or that we could prosecute on the state side, because it was long before that it was on the federal side. And still, we work with our federal counterparts to see who gets the longest sentence and the appropriate accountability, depending on which side of the street we should be on, whether it's federal or state. But one of my strengths, I think, is picking people that have a passion and putting them into roles of leadership and letting them run with the idea and taking it to its highest level. Mm. And in human trafficking, when I first came in, Summer Steffen had done sex crimes before, and I made her chief of sex crimes. And she headed the unit and began the emphasis on human trafficking, in which we changed it from sex crimes and stalking to sex crimes and human trafficking, and began the process in San Diego County of, we tried the first case. Rachel Cano actually tried the first case.
Yes, a very good friend of mine and yours.
yes, and both of them, you know, ran with this. And since then, though, Summer has really taken it to a higher level in participating in research, in teaching, and bringing together in the county a task force that she chairs that works on helping those that are vulnerable, particularly our young kids that are juveniles, to not be victimized anymore and to find them resources to help them and to train people how to look for victims and bring it to the public awareness. And I think she's done a good job, and therefore I've done my job by allowing her to do a good job.
Yeah, I would say so. Speaking of doing a good job, I've read the announcements that you may be considering retirement in the year 2018. Would you care to share any thoughts or any of your decisions around that?
Well, first, I announced I wasn't going to run for DA in 2018. That's not to say I'm going to retire. It just means I'm not going to continue doing that. It was really difficult and really hard for me to do. And when I finally actually expressed it, I got tearful, because you can talk about it, but when you say it, it becomes real. Mm-hmm. So I know I have plenty more to give, and so I don't have a plan that I'm ready to announce yet, but I know it'll be public service, and I know it'll be in an area where I hope I can give back to our community.
So in other words, we're not losing Bonnie Dumanis from the San Diego County.
Nope, we're just moving the district attorney's office on to the next level.
I like that. That's a very interesting way of putting it. So over the years, I'm sure you've met women and girls who've considered a life in law enforcement. What do you say to them that they need to either study? I know the law's in there, but perhaps not necessarily. And what sort of personal characteristics should be prevalent? This is not an easy job. So what would you say? What's the advice you give?
Well, I would give the advice, look at what your passions are. And if your passion is in public service, to then look at who you want to help. And for someone who becomes a prosecutor, particularly a woman, it's a good role because you just by your very nature want to support victims and the vulnerable and give them a voice that they don't have. So it would be someone that would want to do that, but someone who had a clear understanding that we do the right thing for the right reasons, we are not political, and we work very hard, and also are faced with the underbelly of society and also some very horrible things. So you need to be able to face those horrible things, help people through those horrible things, and still maintain a sense of humor and balance and have a family and try not to get cynical.
So you, I think you may have just expressed some of the areas where you manage to relax. What do you enjoy doing around, you know, the area that you live in San Diego after the end of a long week? Which for you is probably a full 7 days, I would say.
I don't have that much time to relax, but when I do, we have a dog, and I like to walk the dog and travel with Denise, who is my spouse. We like to do cruises when we can with my mother and when my dad was alive with my dad. We're very family-oriented, very friend-oriented, and so we do things around that, but we're pretty much homebodies, too, so that's kind of what I do. Lately, I'm sort of obsessed with documentaries, American history, the history of the different wars, slavery, those kinds of things, and I find it fascinating in light of what we are faced with today in terms of the tension and the potentials of war, but also the racial tensions that exist between law enforcement and our community. And so that's sort of my passion right now, is bridging that gap for law enforcement and the community and trying to understand everybody's perspective in different areas.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our conversation today. But just before we close, I wonder if you would just like to give an overview of, you've mentioned the state of crime, et cetera, the prevention and the statistics, but an overview of San Diego and how it looks right now with the new administration we have in Washington, and looking ahead, perhaps say over the next 4 years or so, are we in good shape in San Diego?
Well, I think we're in better shape than most places, but I think we've reached a critical mass on homelessness. I think, at least from my point of view, mental health issues and the treatment of mental health, these are my next passions and substance abuse treatment, because if we don't deal with those issues, we will have more people that end up in prison and more victims. But it all begins when a kid needs education. We need to get people out of poverty. We need to give people jobs and then keep them out of this homelessness, mental health, and substance abuse track that we now see too many people in. And I think that needs to be our focus, and it certainly has been for the mayor and those of us in law enforcement right now. But the police shouldn't be the ones that have to deal with homelessness, mental health issues, and substance abuse issues. We in the community have got to step up and be more humane to our brothers and sisters.
Well, on those very nice and fine words, we will conclude this conversation. Thank you, District Attorney Bonnie Dumais.
Thank you.